Welcome in. You are listening to The Deep Dive. And if you're here today, it is probably because you want the ultimate shortcut to being well-informed, but, you know, without the massive information overload.
Right, getting straight to what actually matters.
Exactly. And today we are cracking open something really fascinating. It's a sweeping, highly classified intelligence briefing called the Tekken Morning Report for July 24, 2026.
It is a phenomenal document to read through.
It really is. But at first glance, I'll admit, you look at this and we have six wildly different stories, right?
Yeah.
You've got space launches, Bitcoin ETFs, TikTok investments, electric vehicle batteries, and AI supercomputers.
Yeah, it looks like a completely scattered array of just random tech news.
Right. But the mission of our deep dive today is to show you how these are actually all chapters of the exact same story. We are looking at the massive radical scaling of global infrastructure.
Undeniably. Mm-hmm. I mean, today's news proves humanity is literally rewiring its technological foundation from the ground up. And the speed of this transition is, well, it's accelerating faster than most people realize.
A planetary scale upgrade. And to understand this global rewiring, we really have to start with the brain that is eventually going to manage it all.
Yes, exactly. The central intelligence.
Right. So OpenAI has officially started training their next generation flagship model, GPT-5 Orion. And the numbers here are just, I mean, they're staggering.
They really are.
We are talking about a 100 trillion parameter model.
Which, just to put that in perspective for a second, a parameter is essentially a digital synapse.
Okay.
It's the variable the AI uses to make decisions, you know, to connect concepts. So when you hit 100 trillion, you are approaching the synaptic scale of the human brain.
Wow.
But to train a digital brain of that magnitude, OpenAI had to build this massive multi-data center grid with over 200,000 NVIDIA Blackwell GPUs. Yes. And that grid requires a massive 1 gigawatt power supply. I mean, you are dedicating the equivalent output of a full-scale nuclear reactor just to power this one training run.
That is insane. But here's where it gets really interesting. The context window on this model is 10 million tokens.
Right.
Meaning this AI can hold 10 million words or, you know, pieces of data in its active memory all at once. So if you're running a global enterprise, this model could essentially inhale your entire code base.
Every single line.
Right. Every single line of code your company's ever written in a single breath and instantly understand how all the pieces connect.
It's a massive qualitative leap. I mean, this isn't just a smarter chatbot anymore. It is a entirely new class of cognitive infrastructure.
Right.
But to actually achieve that, the hardware engineers had to solve a really severe physical bottleneck.
The heat issue, right.
Exactly. Because in older data centers, GPUs were connected by copper wires.
Yeah.
And when you push that much data through copper, you run into electrical resistance, which generates immense heat.
I mean, it literally melts components if you aren't careful.
It does. So for Orion, they replaced the copper with optical interconnects, silicon photonics.
Wait, so they're replacing traditional wiring with lasers inside the data center?
Precisely. They are transferring data between processing nodes using photons, using light instead of electrons.
Oh, wow.
And light doesn't suffer from that same electrical resistance, which means your transfer speeds increase tenfold. And crucially, the heat dissipation drops by 45%.
Okay, so that solves the physical heat problem. But the software architecture itself is also taking a leap because the briefing specifically calls out the elimination of logical hallucinations.
Yes.
How does the machine actually know if it is hallucinating?
Well, Orion incorporates algorithmic self-correction loops along with these automated zero-knowledge logic proofs.
Okay, what does that actually mean in practice?
It means before the model outputs an answer, or, you know, before it writes a complex piece of software, it essentially runs its draft through an internal mathematical sandbox.
Like a rough draft it checks first.
Right. It mathematically verifies its own logic to ensure there are no zero-day vulnerabilities or fundamental errors.
Yeah.
It is literally double-checking its own math in real time.
And the economic implications of a machine that just doesn't make mistakes are profound. I mean, this isn't just a chatbot upgrade. It is a deflationary productivity engine.
Absolutely.
They are projecting this could add $7 trillion to global GDP over the next decade because it's automating entire software engineering and biochemical simulation workflows.
But, you know, there is a catch to all this. As we mentioned earlier, this takes a gigawatt of power.
Right. A nuclear reactor's worth of power.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the next massive shift: gigawatt AI data centers and a fully electrified global economy. I mean, they are completely impossible unless we reimagine how we store power.
We have to secure the energy foundation first.
Exactly. So the sources outline this multi-billion dollar partnership between Tesla and CATL, which is the world's largest battery manufacturer. And they're supplying gigafactories in Texas, Berlin, and Shanghai with next-generation sodium ion cells.
But wait, sodium is basically just salt, right? How does a salt battery power a high-performance vehicle?
I know, it sounds super counterintuitive, but it represents a sweeping material science breakthrough.
Okay.
Because for the last decade, the bottleneck in battery production has always been critical minerals, you know, lithium, cobalt, nickel.
Right. They are expensive and hard to mine.
Exactly. In a lithium-ion battery, lithium ions just flow back and forth between the anode and cathode to create a charge. But lithium is concentrated in regions that are highly prone to geopolitical blockades.
Oh, sure.
So sodium operates on that exact same basic principle, but it is thousands of times more abundant in the Earth's crust. And by switching to sodium chemistry, CATL eliminates the need for expensive nickel and cobalt entirely.
Which cuts costs by, what, 40%?
Up to 40%, yes. That is industry-altering. But my concern is always the trade-off, right? Because if sodium is heavier and larger at a molecular level than lithium, wouldn't the car just be way too heavy or suffer terrible range?
Well, historically, yes. Sodium-ion batteries just didn't hold enough charge. But CATL has finally pushed the cell-level energy density to 170 watt-hours per kilogram.
Which means what for the driver?
It crosses the threshold of viability for standard-range EVs.
Mm.
And they achieved 4C fast charging, meaning you can take the battery from 10% to 80% charge in just 12 minutes.
That's practically like filling up at a gas station.
Exactly.
But the real game changer mentioned in the report is the thermal resilience. Because if you drive an EV, you know the absolute worst part is winter. You park in the freezing cold, and a third of your range is just gone.
Right. And that happens because the liquid electrolyte inside the battery becomes really viscous and sluggish in cold temperatures.
Right, the ions can't move.
Exactly. But CATL engineered this newly developed synthetic electrolyte that acts almost like a high-tech antifreeze.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, and because of this, these sodium ion cells retain 85% of their capacity at negative 20 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
So this breakthrough essentially cures winter range anxiety while simultaneously bypassing the geopolitical supply chain bottlenecks for those critical minerals.
Okay, so we are securing the physical foundation for the energy transition. But batteries aren't the only way to store surplus energy, right?
Not at all.
Because when you build these colossal energy grids, you inevitably end up with excess power during off-peak hours. And down in Texas, that industrial-scale energy is being converted directly into digital assets.
Yes, it's fascinating.
Riot Blockchain, which is a public crypto miner, just purchased an additional 6,950 Bitcoin for $290 million.
Bringing their corporate treasury to over 18,000 BTC.
Right. So what does this all mean? Is Riot an energy grid company or are they a Bitcoin hedge fund?
Well, they've successfully morphed into both.
Yeah.
The operational economics here are just brilliant.
How so?
So Riot uses long-term power purchase agreements in Texas, mostly tied to renewable wind and solar on the Iarcut grid. During severe summer heat waves, when everyone turns on their air conditioning and electricity prices spike, Riot just powers down their mining rigs.
And they sell the power back to the grid.
Exactly. They sell it back for curtailment credits.
So they act as a massive shock absorber for the local energy grid.
Spot on. Then, during the off-peak times, like the middle of the night when energy is cheap and abundant, they turn the machines back on and mine.
But wait, if they are mining, why did they just buy $290 million worth of Bitcoin on the open market?
Because the corporate accounting rules fundamentally changed.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the Financial Accounting Standards Board, FASB, instituted fair value accounting for digital assets.
Meaning they can reflect the real-time market value of their Bitcoin on their balance sheets.
Yes. So instead of selling their mined Bitcoin to pay their electric bills, they can just hoard it. And they use this Bitcoin as pristine collateral to issue low-rate convertible notes.
Wow. So they are borrowing against their digital gold at microscopic interest rates. This just shows how industrial mining is morphing into a dual-revenue ESG infrastructure play. I mean, they are absorbing excess green grid power while hoarding a non-sovereign digital asset to protect themselves against currency inflation.
And that corporate hoarding creates an intense supply shock, Which brings us to a major problem Wall Street is currently trying to solve.
Right, because if companies like Riot are vacuuming up all this Bitcoin and locking it in cold storage vaults, it's basically a dead, non-productive asset.
It just sits there.
Exactly. So if you are a traditional financial institution, how do you make that locked-up capital actually work for you?
Enter Galaxy Digital.
Yes. They just launched a groundbreaking liquid Bitcoin ETF. Now, unlike first-generation spot ETFs that just buy and hold the asset, this one actively generates a 3.5% to 5.2% annual yield.
They do it using Layer 2 protocols and Lightning Network routing.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because generating yield in crypto usually involves massive counterparty risk, like lending assets out to some shady offshore exchange. How are they preventing another catastrophic crypto collapse?
What's fascinating here is the technology they are using. They are replacing traditional trust with cryptographic certainty using a ZK-Stark, proof of reserves.
A ZK-Stark. You lost me. How does a mathematical proof protect my money?
Okay, think about traditional auditing. You hire an accounting firm, they look at your bank statements maybe once a quarter, and they assure everyone the money is there.
Right.
With a ZK-Stark, which is a zero-knowledge proof, Galaxy Digital mathematically proves to the blockchain in real time exactly how much Bitcoin is in the fund.
And the briefing says it is 150% over-collateralized.
Yes, and they do this without ever revealing specific wallet addresses or compromising their security.
Oh, I get it. So it's like a bouncer at a club who can verify you are over 21 without ever actually looking at your ID or knowing your name or seeing your birth date. They just mathematically know you passed the test.
That is the perfect analogy. You verify the truth of the statement without exposing the underlying sensitive data. Plus, there is a $500 million smart contract insurance policy from Lloyd's of London on top of it.
So you have cryptographic guarantees plus legacy insurance. By turning Bitcoin into a yield-generating asset with real-time regulatory oversight, what does this unlock?
It unlocks ERISA pension funds. These massive institutional funds can now legally allocate up to 2% of their multi-trillion dollar portfolios to digital assets.
That is a staggering amount of capital.
It really is.
So Wall Street is using cryptography to squeeze financial yield out of idle assets. But if we pivot from financial yield, we look at the ultimate data yield engine.
Yes, Tencent and TikTok.
Right. Because if Galaxy is optimizing Bitcoin, Tencent is optimizing human attention and commerce. The briefing notes, Tencent is investing $5 billion into TikTok for a massive algorithmic and AI data center upgrade.
And the implications for digital commerce are huge.
This sounds like they are bolting a high-speed commercial engine onto a viral attention machine to bypass traditional web searching entirely.
That's exactly what they are doing. But to pull this off, they had to navigate some intense geopolitical regulations.
Project Texas and Project Clover, right.
Yes. TikTok operates under those protocols to keep user data strictly isolated in independent cloud silos.
Which pleases the regulators in the U.S. and Europe.
Right. Tencent doesn't get the user data, but they do provide the underlying AI technology. And Tencent's advanced AI allows TikTok live hosts to use AI-generated digital avatars.
Wait, avatars?
Yes. These avatars can present and sell products in 18 different languages simultaneously.
That is wild. So a single host can stream localized, flawless sales pitches globally all at once.
And analysts project this will drive a 35% increase in gross merchandise value, or GMV, for TikTok.
Wow. Which is a huge threat to the digital ad landscape because zero latency micro-targeted ads and these frictionless gaming integrations are directly threatening traditional giants like Google, Meta, and Amazon.
They are completely bypassing the traditional search bar.
It's incredible. But, you know, we've talked about all this terrestrial stuff, gigawatt AI grids, automated trading, digital data silos.
Yeah.
But all of this multi-trillion dollar infrastructure shares one massive vulnerability. It can be wiped out in an instant by space weather.
That is the ultimate wild card.
Which brings us to NASA and SpaceX. NASA is reassigning the Sunrise space weather mission from ULA's Vulcan Centaur to SpaceX's Falcon Heavy.
And that's due to ULA's severe B4 engine manufacturing delays.
Right. But looking at the payload, instead of sending up one massive James Webb-style telescope, they are sending six tiny CubeSats. How does that work?
It relies on the physics of orbital radio interferometry.
Okay.
Sunrise needs to capture low-frequency radio bursts to track solar storms. But to capture those waves, you'd need a physical radio disk roughly 10 kilometers wide.
Which you obviously cannot launch into space.
Exactly. So instead, these six small satellites fly 10 kilometers apart from each other in a super-synchronous drift orbit. which is about 36,000 kilometers up.
How do they stay aligned if they aren't physically connected?
They use optical inter-satellite links. They fire lasers at each other to autonomously maintain their formation. And by synchronizing their data, they act together as a virtual 10-kilometer-wide radio dish.
That is so clever. And this allows them to track coronal mass ejections, giving Earth a 24-hour warning before a massive solar storm hits our power grids.
Which is vital for protecting all the AI and Bitcoin infrastructure we just talked about.
Right. And the stark economics of orbital logistics here really stand out. A Falcon Heavy costs about $1,200 per kilogram to geostationary transfer orbit.
Compared to ULA's $6,500 per kilogram.
Yeah. SpaceX's reusability is making traditional expendable rockets economically obsolete while saving the scientific instruments that protect our earthly infrastructure.
It changes the entire financial calculus of space exploration.
It really does. What an incredible scope we've covered today on this deep dive. I mean, tracing the line from the launch pad of a Falcon Heavy protecting the grid down to the Texas wind farms mining Bitcoin, over to Wall Street generating yield, and finally to the AI supercomputers redefining global productivity.
It's all connected. And, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it raises a truly profound prospect.
What's that?
Well, we know that OpenAI's Orion relies on orbital Starlink telemetry to function, right?
Right.
And we just established that Orion will soon be capable of automating complex system designs and verifying its own code.
Yeah.
So the question is, are we rapidly approaching a moment where AI will autonomously design, launch, and manage the very space-based infrastructure required to protect its own energy grids?
Oh, wow.
Are we witnessing the birth of a closed-loop planetary operating system?
That is a staggering thought to leave on. An AI building the shield that protects the plug that keeps it alive. Well, thank you for coming along on this journey with us today. Remember, the future isn't just something that happens. It's being built today. Keep exploring these fascinating shifts. Keep asking questions, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.